Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, if you're a daughter, then listen up, because this next chat is particularly for you. Not just if you're a daughter, though. You might be the parent of a daughter. You might be the brother of a daughter. This will help you to understand some of those women who have gone through what Norman Wright calls the absent father syndrome. Norman Wright is a marriage and family counsellor. He's got more than 70 books to his name, and he's the man behind Healing for the Father Wound. It's for any woman who's experienced pain because of the way that their father raised them, or perhaps didn't raise them at all. Norman is on the line. Norman, welcome to Open House.
Thank you. It's really good to be with you.
You've had all of these years of, working in marriage and family counselling. I guess you would have seen this syndrome fairly often.
I've seen it ever since I started out. In fact, just a few years into my counseling, I learned that it was important to ask any woman who came in, tell me about your father. And all of a sudden, I began hearing things that maybe they never would have talked about had I not asked that question. The father-daughter relationship is so significant because who is the first man in a daughter's life? It is her father. Mm. And this is how she begins to learn about men, what they are like, what they say, what they do, can they be trusted or not. And it's fortunate when there is a very close, consistent relationship between a father and a daughter. But many times with many, many women all throughout the world, there is an absent father, and it doesn't mean that he's always absent physically. He could be there physically, but he's not there emotionally. Mm. He doesn't really connect, and he doesn't really have a part of that young girl's life.
Mm. Well, let's talk about that absent father syndrome, as you call it. And you say dads can be absent from their children's lives. It might be divorce. It might be through death. Or it might be through workaholism. They're just simply not there. Or, I guess, as you say, even if they're not even addicted to work, they're still around. They may just simply be separated emotionally. What are the symptoms that a woman can experience then from having had an absent father in their life?
There's a multitude of them that, you know, that can occur. Sometimes the woman grows up feeling that she's unworthy and unlovable, and that's why father is not there or he's not even connecting with her. And so they end up wondering, is anybody ever going to love me? And when they develop a relationship with a man, they have a difficult time trusting. They think, well, maybe there's a catch to this. Maybe I'm going to be abandoned again. The other side of it is, though, is that if there's no father around, they might try to capture that lost love and acceptance from every man that they meet. Many women feel, I guess the best word is abandoned. And so they have a number of fears. They're afraid of rejection. And also, unfortunately, they're afraid of commitment. They get close to a certain degree, but then they hold back and just can't make that final commitment because maybe all men are like my father.
Mm.
And then, unfortunately, some women become what we call overachievers, perfectionists. If for some reason my father didn't connect with me, didn't like me, didn't relate to me, I've got to prove that I am very, very capable. And so they drive themselves, and everything has to be just so, just right, even in the men they choose. One of the other problems that we find is that when you're abandoned, that's a rejection, and that hurts. And hurt often turns into anger. And as one woman I interviewed, she described it like, I have a volcano in my stomach, and it's always there, you know, just churning away. And I never know when it's going to erupt, and often it does, especially in my relationships with other men, whether it be at work or whether it's be in trying to build a relationship.
Mm. And, of course, anger can lead to depression too, can't it?
Oh, it can, because if you have a lot of anger and you find no healthy way of letting it out, you turn it back in against yourself, and then pretty soon you're wondering, why am I feeling so bad?
Yeah, I think it was Arch Hart that I heard talk about depression as frozen rage.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it.
Yeah. Now, you've brought all of these kind of symptoms down to kind of four types of hearts. You talk about heart problems, the bruised heart, the performance heart, the hard heart, the addicted heart. Just run through just a brief description of each one of those then.
Well, when you have a bruised heart, the young woman feels beaten down. She has this struggle with, I can never be good enough to live up to the expectations of my father. And so she ends up with shame and fear and feeling insecure. many women like this end up on a survival journey. If I can't count on my father, I have to learn to survive myself. And then there's some other women, which we've alluded to. There's a performance heart. This is the woman who's just driving herself to be the best in any area that she attempts. And underlining this driving force is the fear of failure or disappointment. And I've talked to some who've actually said that this is a message to my father. I'll show you. I can be successful. I can do it. Even if you can't affirm me, I will find the affirmation laid other places. I think one that's really sad is when, we've heard Western songs that talk about the hard-hearted man. Well, some women end up with a hard heart, and underlying that could be anger, but it's a protective device. It's shutting yourself down emotionally so that you don't get hurt. Unfortunately, this affects the woman not just in relationships, but also in her relationship with God, because God is one who reaches down to all of us with love, but she has a hard time accepting the fact that God really sees her as a person of value and worth, so she doesn't have the ability to just accept that unconditional love that God gives to to every one of us. There's one other heart that, unfortunately, we all see too much of. It's called the addicted heart. You latch on to different things, and it could be a person, people or activities, or substance, even food, and all this is used to cover the hurt inside. It's like everything the person does, the woman does, is done in excess, and the problem is it doesn't work. None of these types of hearts really, really work for the woman.
This is Open House right across the nation. Theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast of our chat with H. Norman Wright, author of Healing for the Father Wound. Okay, so Norman, you've mentioned these four types of hearts then, the effects that can come as a result of a woman having an absent father in her life. It might be through divorce, might be through death, might be through workaholism, or simply that he was emotionally distant. What's the first thing you do when it comes to helping a woman then overcome this absentee father syndrome? What's the first thing? Where do you start?
Well, after we've talked about this, and what I want her to do is tell me the story. Tell me your story about you and your father, because often they've never had an opportunity to really tell the story. And then I'll use some of the questions and the exercises out of the book to help her evaluate her relationship with her father. In a sense, writing a letter to Dad. Dear Dad, I wish you would have. I wish you had said this to me. I wish you could have. And start identifying all those hurts that are inside of her. I think one of the things that's important for her is to, if she's had a poor relationship, no matter what kind of a poor relationship, that is what we call a loss. She lost out on part of her childhood. She lost out on things that she should have had as a young child growing up. And so anytime you lose anything, you need to grieve over it. Almost all my work now is in the area of grief and trauma. And I probably see losses where a lot of other people don't see them. But in our relationships, we carry these losses around. And if we don't grieve for them, the next time we experience a loss, we've got all that residue from before. Now, if Dad is still in the picture, and he's still alive, still functional, then we talk about, well, what would you like to do at this time? What kind of a relationship would you like with your father that's reasonable? Sometimes I've heard descriptions of relationships that are just, over the hill. There's just no way we're going to have a relationship like that. But what would you like to do? And sometimes they say, I'd just like to have a good old conversation with my dad. That's very basic, but they've missed out on that. And part of the problem is that if there's a lot of anger there, if they get into a conversation, that anger can often come out in the form of an attack, and you start blaming your father. Men don't like to be blamed anyway. We have a difficult time because we have this innate tendency to be defensive. And if a daughter says to her dad, Dad, you were never there for me. Why didn't you ever talk to me? Well, a why question is one of the most difficult to ever answer anyway, and If you make an accusation, the father is going to come up with the one time that he was there and defend himself to the end.
Mm.
And so we encourage them, if you're going to have a conversation with your father, point out what you would like with him. Dad, I'd really like to be able to just go out to dinner with you sometime and enjoy ourselves together. Dad, I really appreciate it when you call on the phone, when you ask me how my day was or what it was like at work. Dad, I really appreciate it when I see you that you come up and give me a hug. That just makes my day. So what you do is you point toward the type of a relationship you want. You point toward the type of response that you want from your dad. And then whenever he does something you really, really like, you reinforce it. You thank him. Dad, that meant so much to me, the time that we spent together. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you begin to see responses. One of the other things is that often men respond best to requests in writing, because that way they can mull it over, make it their own, and then they have more of a response.
Yeah, okay, they're not kind of put on the spot. They've got a little bit of distance to be able to, I guess, process it.
Oh, they need that distance to just think about it for a while, especially if it's done in a very positive, affirming manner. They're more likely to respond. It's just like many wives have said, you know, I asked my husband to do something. He says, oh, yeah, I'll get it done. It never gets done. And when I suggest that at the same time you ask him to do something, give it to him in writing, you're amazed at the difference.
Get a contract out and sign it.
That's right, because we're visual. We read something, I can do that and follow through with it.
Yeah, that's why my wife's going to send me memos more these days. That's what she's going
right.
to do. Yeah, Norm, where does the forgiveness fit into all of this, though? Because if you've got that the anger that you were talking about before for the you know, the hard heart, might be, where does forgiveness fit in, and where do you begin when it might be years upon years upon years of neglect, abuse, whatever it might be that the woman is dealing with?
Well, if we don't forgive, we are the ones who are being punished, because the other individual might not realize that there's been that much of a problem. If we don't forgive, it turns into bitterness and resentment, and that takes a toll on our bodies and our minds and our spiritual life. I've had women say, but my father doesn't deserve to be forgiven. And my response is, that's true. None of us deserves to be forgiven. But that's what God has done for each one of us, is as he's reached down, and in spite of who we are and what we've done, he has offered us forgiveness. So that is the model.
Mm.
But the first thing we have to do in forgiving a father is to deal with your objections. And so I would ask a woman to write down, Dad, I forgive you for, and she writes out whatever it was, and then you write down the first objection that comes to mind. And then you write it again, and then you write the next objection. And you do this again and again. Maybe you have 10, maybe you have 20 of them. But when you get to the place where you say, Dad, I forgive you for, and there's no objections, you've started the process of forgiveness, because forgiveness is a process. It is going to take time. And it could be that after you have forgiven, you'll have a closer relationship. But on the other hand, you might not, but at least you're not carrying that weight around anymore. You've released your father. In your mind, you're not making him pay anymore, and you're able to go on in spite of the damage that was done, in spite of the rejection that was done.
Mm. This is Open House right across Australia, theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast. We're talking to H. Norman Wright, author of 70-odd books. We're talking about healing for the father wound. For women who have had an absentee father in their life, how do you deal with that broken heart that you actually have? Norm, what about the father who just will not respond? He will not respond. In fact, he won't respond to any overtures of forgiveness. He won't respond to any written requests that the daughter in his life wants to send him. In fact, he might just continue to be incredibly antagonistic, maybe angry, maybe just dealing with his own stuff. What do you do when all of your attempts to try and reconcile, to try and have a good relationship with your father, end up not achieving anything?
Well, several things. One, forgiveness does not depend on the other individual. We can release them, we can forgive them, no matter what they are like, or what they say, or what they do. So that would take care of that part. What is important is the fact that a daughter has taken steps to reach out. The value is in what you do. The value is not in how the father responds, because if it is, then we're allowing that father to continue to control us. Mm. So we look at it and say, I have done all these things, and I feel good about that, and it's not dependent upon whether Dad changes or what. I'm not responsible for that. I'm responsible for doing the best I can, and now I can go on with my life. Sometimes we've had a daughter write their father a goodbye letter, which isn't ever sent, and the father is still alive, but they've been able to release him and realize this man will never be the father I want. Mm. But there's two other things. One, she can look to God, her heavenly father, to fulfill many, many of her needs. Mm. And then make sure she's building positive relationships with other men in her life, not allowing what Dad did to influence her. She wants to move toward a freedom in her life so that she can be accepting of another man's love, and she can be accepting of how God sees her as well. One of the things that I wish, even though this book was written for daughters, for women, I wish dads would read it, because I think they would be surprised at the influence they have and how important their role is and how significant their interaction is.
Yes, I bet you're right. It's so easy to just walk through life doing what you do and maybe even not realizing that you're modeling yourself on the parenting that you had, not realizing the influence you're having in the children's lives that you're raising.
That's it, because I've heard fathers say, well, what my parents did was good enough for me, so what I do ought to be good enough for my children. Mm. The problem is, it isn't. We're all called on to just grow and be the best father and mother that we can. It's a privilege to have a daughter. I've had two children. My son is deceased at age 22, but my daughter's in her mid-40s, and now she has a 7-year-old adopted daughter, and it's just a delight. The opportunity to influence them, to love them, to encourage them, to be a believer in them. Daughters need fathers to say, go for it. You can do it. I'm praying for you. This is so essential. When my daughter was younger, it sort of drove me up the wall, because she's one of these dreamer types that would think of things that nobody else has thought of. I mean, she didn't even know where the box was, you know. And she didn't just think outside the box. She didn't know it. But she was one of those creative individuals, and she rose to the top of her profession and traveled internationally teaching because she had this creative bent. And we said, well, why fight it? Let's go for it. Do it, Cheryl. And she did.
Yes. Like you said, that's a wonderful privilege that you have as a father into the life of a daughter. This is a horrible thing to raise, but there are some fathers that are just so abusive that for the father wound to heal, you almost wonder whether the relationship does actually have to be cut. Is that true?
Yes, it is, because we've seen a lot of women who have suffered through sexual abuse as well as, you know, the physical abuse, and so many times the father will never admit to it. This is where you have to move on and not allow that damage. Any woman who's experienced that type of abuse needs to go for help, because that is trauma, and that trauma can just affect the way you live the rest of your life and be an anchor that you're carrying with you. But there is healing, there is hope that can occur.
Well, Norm, let's finish with you just giving a word of advice to those four hearts that we talked about at the beginning of our chat, the bruised heart, the performance heart, the hard heart, the addicted heart. Just a word to leave, because there'll be women listening who say, okay, well, I can find myself in one of those four types.
Well, I think the main thing I would say is that regardless of the type of heart that you have, remember that the way your father responded to you was his inability, perhaps his choice. There wasn't a defect in you. It wasn't because of who you were, what you looked like, how you sounded, what you did. That wasn't the reason for being rejected or for being abused or for being neglected. The defect wasn't there. You are valuable and you are worthwhile. And I just pray that you would see how God sees you and that you would be able to accept his acceptance of you, because we're all imperfect in this life. Some fathers try, but many fathers do not. So you want to move on, because there is hope for you.
Mm. Well, it's nice. In fact, I guess to some degree, it'd be nice if we could jump into Dad's shoes and understand what life has been like from his perspective, too. Maybe that would give us some sort of insight.
Oh, that would be a good one, because that has really happened. And that's one of the important questions to ask your father. Tell me about you when you were a little boy and your relationship with your father, and it just might put a whole new spin on it.
Well, there's hope for the father-wounded heart. Norm, great to talk to you. Thanks for your time at Open House tonight.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's H. Norman Wright, author, counsellor, trauma specialist, author of 70 books, including Healing for the Father Wound.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.